Our sermon text today comes from Acts chapter 12, where I will read verses 1 through 19. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread. So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers. And the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison. And he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly." And his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and tie on your sandals." And so he did. And he said to him, "Put on your garment and follow me." So he went out and followed him and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they were past the first and second guard posts, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people." So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice, because of her gladness, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. But they said to her, "You are beside yourself." Yet she kept insisting that it was so. So they said, "It is his angel." Now Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But motioning to them with his hand to keep silent, he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, "Go tell these things to James and to the brethren." And he departed and went to another place. Then as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers about what had become of Peter. But when Herod had searched for him and not found him, he examined the guards and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and stayed there. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Join with me, let us pray. Our gracious Lord, this day be with us as we again see how the pattern of death and resurrection is repeated in your people. Not only those who came before Jesus, but those who come after. Help us to see that this continues to be your way of bringing your people to glory. Grant us this, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may please be seated. Well, today is the seventh and last Sunday of the Easter season, which means that today we're bringing our study of Jesus' death and resurrection to an end. This way, next week, we can celebrate Jesus' gift of the Holy Spirit, who was poured out on the apostles on the day of Pentecost to equip them for their task of taking Jesus' gospel to the ends of the world. To help us again reflect on the many implications and applications of Jesus' death and resurrection, today we're once more looking at a biblical character whose story images Jesus' story by undergoing something of a death and resurrection himself. To explain what I mean, this Easter season we spent a good deal of time looking at the Old Testament characters whose lives foreshadowed how Jesus would suffer before entering into glory. In the process, we saw how the Old Testament repeatedly gives us signposts pointing us forward to Jesus and the redemption that he would accomplish for us by his death and resurrection. But last week, we turned to the pages of the New Testament, and we found that this same pattern is also repeated in the lives of those who come after Jesus. And as a result, as today we bring the Easter season to a close, we're going to look at another New Testament character who follows in Jesus' footsteps by also undergoing a period of suffering before experiencing a miraculous deliverance from death. I'm speaking today about the Apostle Peter. And what I hope to show you is that the story of Peter's deliverance from prison teaches us that God often transforms the suffering of his people into gospel stories that continue to reflect the image of his Son, and thereby continue to testify to the gospel, not in prospect as the Old Testament saints did, but now in retrospect. To help us see how the Lord does this, I want to take a minute to set the context for our sermon text, and then we'll see how God uses Peter's suffering in prison to display the glory of resurrection and reflect the image of Christ for all those who come after. Our text from Acts 12 opens in the year AD 44, which means we've come 14 years from Jesus' death and resurrection in the spring of AD 30. And we know that because our text opens by telling us that Herod began to persecute the church. In the process of doing so, he has James the apostle executed. James referred to here is the brother of John, one of the two sons of Zebedee, who along with his brother Peter made up Jesus' inner circle. He's not to be confused with James, the brother of our Lord, who becomes a leader of the Jerusalem church. And we know from historical sources that James was killed in AD 44, which is how we mark the date of this occasion. Notice also we are in the springtime of the year because Luke tells us the event recorded in the verses that follow happened during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, of which the Feast of Passover was the central event. As a result, we mustn't fail to notice that the event recorded in our text happens at the exact same time of year and in connection with the same holiday that provided the occasion of Jesus' death and resurrection. Again, the only difference is that we've now come 14 years since the time of when Jesus' saving work was achieved during this holiday. When our text opens, we learn that Herod's execution of James so delighted the Jews that he decides he will elicit their favor even more by doing the same with Peter. So even though Peter has done no wrong, Herod has him arrested in order to please the Jews by executing him as soon as the festival is over. In the meantime, Herod delivers Peter over to four squads of soldiers who throw him in prison where he will await his trial, the outcome of which, of course, is a foregone conclusion. Unless we pass over this fact, I think it's important we realize that throughout Scripture, prisons are often symbolic places of death. In other words, in the Bible, prisons don't just represent places of captivity or confinement. Rather, in both the Old and New Testaments, when a righteous person, especially such as Peter, is placed in prison, they are very often symbolically portrayed as undergoing a death of sorts, part of which is because most prisons in the ancient world were underground dungeons, and thus naturally they belonged to the realm of Sheol, or the realm of the grave and of death. And we see this perhaps in the first instance in Genesis with Joseph, when he metaphorically experiences death, when he's sold into slavery and imprisoned in a dungeon in Egypt. As we saw in our study of Daniel, virtually the same thing happens to him when he's thrown into a lion's den and the den is sealed with a stone. But as we know in the case of both men, after undergoing a symbolic death of sorts, they experience a miraculous deliverance that follows. See this in the first case again with Joseph, in the space of one day he's released from prison and raised to the right hand of Pharaoh, where he's given authority to rule over all the land of Egypt. Similarly, we see it in the case of Daniel, when also in the space of one day he is released from the lion's den and then raised to the right hand of Darius, where he's given authority to rule over the land, all the land of Persia. As a result, if we've been attentive in our study and the repetition of this pattern in Scripture, we should anticipate that Peter's deliverance from figurative death in prison will also reflect the suffering and glory of his risen Savior. Again, not in prospect like the Old Testament saints, but now in retrospect. While Peter is in prison awaiting trial, Luke makes a point of describing the situation he finds himself in. In particular, Acts 12:6 says, "And when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison." All right, let's get this picture in our minds. Here Peter is. He's being held in prison in a place of figurative death, bound with two chains between two soldiers. Like Joseph between the baker and the cupbearer with whom he shared a cell, and Jesus upon the cross between two prisoners, Peter is instead chained between two soldiers whom at the end of our text also suffer the penalty of death. As we know from history, this also means that Peter's arms are outstretched and individually chained to a wall. Keeping this picture in mind, like our Lord Jesus, at Passover time no less, Peter is in a figurative place of death with his arms stretched out to both sides of him, naked or nearly so, with his head bowed in sleep. Meanwhile, he's located between two other men, both of which are destined for death, with one on his right side and the other on his left. While Peter is sleeping in this posture of death, which clearly resembles Christ on the cross, an angel of the Lord appears and, not coincidentally, strikes him on his side. Luke says, "Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in prison, and he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, 'Arise quickly.' Immediately we're told his chains fell off his hands." Now, the reason we know Peter was naked in his chains like Jesus on the cross is explained by the fact the angel next tells him, "Gird yourself and tie on your sandals." And so he did. And he said to him, "Put on your garment and follow me." At this point, Peter himself isn't sure whether this is all really happening or whether he's dreaming. And his state of bewilderness continues until the angel leads him through three sets of barriers that must be crossed in order to exit the prison. First two barriers are guard posts, and the final impregnable barrier is the iron gate that leads to the city. To Peter's surprise, the gate opens of its own accord, and the angel departs from him. Then Peter realizes the truth that he has been freed from death when the iron gates of the city are unable to prevail against him. So coming to his senses, Peter proceeds to the house of Mary, the mother of John Mark, who had often hosted Jesus and the disciples. There the grieving disciples are gathered in prayer, when to their surprise, isn't it always the case we're surprised when God answers our prayers? When to their surprise, their prayers are answered when Peter knocks on the door. When one of the women, the servant girl Rhoda, hears Peter's voice outside, she's so overwhelmed with joy that she leaves Peter behind and she wants to tell the disciples. Naturally, the disciples, they think she's gone mad and they don't believe her. They assume she's seen Peter's angel. Meanwhile, Peter continues knocking until at last they open the door and see for themselves. With the result, Luke tells us, they were astonished. Lastly, Peter explains how the Lord delivered him from death by telling how he had sent his angel to bring him out of prison. Then Peter commissions the astonished observers who had been praying for him by telling them, go tell these things to James and to the brethren. And our story ends with Peter departing to another place. In summary, I hope today you see how Peter's glorious deliverance from figurative death mirrors Jesus' glorious deliverance from death by his resurrection. The festival of Passover had arrived in Israel. Although Jesus has done no wrong, it pleased the Jews to have him arrested. After they succeeded, Jesus was sent to Herod for trial to determine whether he should be put to death. Herod delivered Jesus over to soldiers, and soon thereafter, he was condemned to death. At his crucifixion, Jesus hung on the cross with his arms stretched out to either side, with his head bowed, in the sleep of death. On the cross, Jesus was exposed to the shame of nakedness while he hung between two other men condemned to death, one on his right side and the other on his left. While in this posture of death, Jesus was struck on his side by a Roman spear. Unlike Peter, he did suffer death. But after 3 days, the Lord sent an angel to deliver Christ from death and proclaim he is risen. That same morning, several women came to the tomb, and when they heard the voice of the angel, they were so overwhelmed with joy. What did they do? They ran to tell the disciples. But the disciples didn't believe them and thought they were mad. And even when the disciples first saw Jesus, some of them first assumed he was a spirit. But eventually they too realized that Jesus had truly been delivered from death. Jesus then told them to report what they had seen to their brethren. And he withdrew from them. Bunch of consequences, right? I don't think so. In short, by now, I hope you understand that none of these parallels are coincident. In our study of Old Testament saints whose lives conform to the pattern of Jesus' suffering and glory, we saw how the Old Testament was giving us signposts all along the way to teach us that Christ would suffer before entering into glory. For this reason, Jesus rebuked the disciples that he walked beside on the Emmaus Road for not understanding how this pattern is frequently repeated in Scripture, for not understanding how the Scriptures had foretold the path God's Messiah would take. But what I hope we see now As a result of last week's story of Paul and this week's story of Peter, is that this same pattern of death and resurrection continues to be repeated in the lives of Jesus' disciples, not only in the pages of the New Testament, but in our lives as well. The reason for this is explained by the Apostle Paul in Romans 8. There the Apostle tells us that whom God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. Therefore, just as the heroes of the Old Testament anticipated the death and resurrection of Jesus, so also we should now expect that our own lives will frequently follow this path of suffering leading to glory in ever-increasing ways. And realizing this should in turn teach us that while we may often endure various forms of suffering or maybe even persecution in this life, when we do, we can be confident the Lord is merely using these events to conform us to the image of His Son and to display the glory of Christ's resurrection power in us. As we saw in the lives of all the Old Testament saints we studied this Easter season, God transforms the suffering we experience in life into a gospel story that reflects the image of His Son. In doing so, just as the stories of the heroes, the Old Testament heroes of the faith pointed forward to Jesus and anticipation of the coming of the Messiah, so also our lives continue to point people to Jesus, who died and rose from the grave and now sits enthroned at the right hand of the Father, from which He will someday come to judge the living and the dead. As a result, Paul assures us that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And that in turn teaches us when we endure pain and suffering, we can be assured resurrection glory lies ahead. And we know this because one thing we've seen time and again now for 7 weeks is that death can never hold the people of God. Just as the iron doors of the prison open automatically before Peter to allow his release, even the gates of Hades will not stand in the way of our release from the grave. And just as the stone that sealed Christ's tomb proved to be of no avail to prevent His resurrection, so also the stone that will seal our graves will be rolled away by Christ, who now delivers us from death and allows us to live forever in glory. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, help us ever increasingly to see that our suffering is transformed by You, that You, just as Jesus learned obedience by the things He suffered and for the joy set before Him, He endured the cross. Help us to do likewise, Lord, knowing that whenever we experience a figurative death or in the end a literal death, we know that resurrection follows so long as we are united to Jesus. Grant us this, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Continue to worship the Lord by bringing forth His tithes and our offerings.